Hey, it's Gina. You're listening to From the Ground Up Floral Podcast, a podcast for florists and creatives. This is episode number 3. So excited to be back this week. I apologize immensely for the delay. I got bombarded with weddings, but that's a good thing. Keep them busy. They were all super fun, amazing couples. So it was my pleasure to get to be there for their wedding day. But I did miss a week. So we are catching back up. It is me, myself, and I today. And I wanted to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome. And actually, it's not me, myself, and I. I do have a little bit of footage that I... Well, it's not footage, I guess, is it? Okay, so it's a bit of a recording that was one of my very first recordings. And I'm going to play just a few excerpts from it. You know, it'll basically be talking about how florists in general feel.
Popcorn. I eat popcorn.
Well, except that nobody has any idea. What's that crackling
noise? It's me eating popcorn. Yeah, so now you were just talking about... now I forget the word.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, because I didn't receive formal training, and I know that puts me kind of at a disadvantage in a lot of ways, and... having been doing it for like 14 years now, I still feel like there's major knowledge gaps as far as like, gosh, if somebody came to me and said, I need a full sympathy suite, like casket, you know, I'm sure I could make something that would be pretty, but I wouldn't know the right, like I wouldn't feel confident in the right way to approach it.
Right.
And what that all entails even, like what is in a sympathy suite? Is there even such a thing as a sympathy suite? I think I just made that up.
I mean.
I think so too, but it's okay because it's happening.
It's not nice. But I mean, yeah, if somebody were to ask you for a casket spray, and you didn't know.
I guess I would go get a casket foam and put
and
flowers in it.
And just stuff flowers in it.
Really big centerpiece.
Like,
yeah.
And I've seen enough pictures, but it's just. Knowing that you kind of have like the hands-on experience with playing with all these different things and approaches and methods, I think gives you more confidence.
Yeah.
But feel good that you came today and you continue to try to educate yourself. And.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a really good step in the right direction too. I mean, even if you know what your weaknesses are, you can still work on them. I mean, like, if mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, hey, I don't do a lot of this.
Right.
Maybe there's a way I could learn and get better.
That's
like,
true.
I struggled with sympathy pieces, too, and I still, honestly, I don't like doing them.
Special you know spot. I think just going back to imposter syndrome, though, I think part of it is just realizing how limited my style range is. And it's really... I can say I'm very versatile when it comes to what the clients want, but it's all boiling down to basically like wedding floral.
Right, but what happens when the trends change a little bit? Are you going to be okay? Like,
I mean, I think so.
We've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah,
so,
I mean it's not
going to
change drastically that much,
change,
but there are
so.
Some people that, like, I'm concerned they won't be okay. Like,
I guess it's more like I don't get many orders for, like, super modern corporate, you know, with like crazy armatures and stuff that Hitomi makes that is really cool and interesting, but so not what any of my clients ever want because it just doesn't read wedding no matter what the trend is for wedding.
And you guys have a big enough town to be able to have niches like that, meaning you're on this side of the water, meaning there's enough of you and enough people to service to where you can have like your style
or
Hitomi style or whatever, where me, I'm such a small town. I feel like I have to be everything to everybody.
Right.
And it's driving me freaking insane.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I can't be even though I'm classically trained in many different forms of design, I can do bespoke, I can do Martha, I can do armatures, I can do Victorian Garden. I can do many different. I'm kind of like Pretty Woman. Like, what's your name? What do you want to be? Kind of thing. But it burns me out. Like, mm-hmm. I can't. I'm tired of being everything to everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's because I'm such a small area.
I mean, I think it can be easy to feel like an imposter when you realize your limitations. But I think, I mean, there's lots of people that
can't do what you
are
do.
Are broad, but not deep. Mm-hmm. And where I think, like, you've been doing wedding florals for 15 years, like, 14 years, I don't know.
14 years,
which is a long time. Like, I feel like, I don't know.
At this point,
you're not an imposter anymore.
No.
You're very good at what you do.
See, but I think my
having the confidence to be like, you know what, like, I don't know what I'm doing with Symphony, but I don't do Symphony.
Yeah.
And I'm really good at what I do.
I guess it makes me feel like I'm not a full florist. You know, like, I'm not fully schooled in floristry. And that's just the truth.
Mm-hmm. But is that a problem?
Not for my business, but maybe
just
for
you
my
as like a person?
Psyche.
Huh. Well, it gives you an opportunity to, if you want to learn and grow, come up to Hitomi School when she has it. Come
to
the AFD program.
I'd love to learn from Hitomi more.
Instead of finding, like, see, and that's the other thing you could think of. There's maybe this whole new other world and ideas of design out there instead of being burnt out. Like, oh, I'm so sick of my own designing.
It might refresh you.
It's like actually a gift because you're like, oh, here's this brand new world.
Right.
Just like Holly does the same thing. She kind of said the same thing about.
I really related to a lot of what she was saying. Mm-hmm. Just craving knowledge in a more like formal way.
I know she still feels
that way. Yeah, she knows it too. Everybody gets it. And I feel like mine is opposite of yours. I am like I've learned a lot in the past couple of years and I've gotten a lot of education, but I feel like my business is not, you know, I feel like kind of like, oh, well, I have this thing that I do and like, you know, I book some weddings, but I feel like it's not full time. I feel like I don't get fully booked to where I want to be. And I don't know. I mean, like,
I see a lot of your stuff in magazines lately though, too, which a lot of people don't have too. So
well, and
it
that's
seems like, that's where you're,
I don't know. And it's hard for me. Like, I feel like I'm not, all I do is read business books, listen to business people talk and all this stuff about my like business end of it. And it just doesn't feel like it's falling into place for me the way that it should. And I don't know if that's because, like, I can't put in the amount of work that I want. Or if it's, like, maybe I'm just not good at that part of it. I don't know. Like, I don't know. That's my issues. But I don't know. Everybody has something.
That's for sure.
So.
You're pretty great. I mean, not that you do have so much knowledge, Gina, too, but you're fairly, how,
it's
before
just
you were in AFT,
hard.
How long did you start the floral stuff?
Well, I did my own wedding, and then, I mean, like, I accidentally incorporated myself to get wholesale flowers to do my own wedding in Oregon, and from there, I was just like, oh, well, you know, I took the Floral Design Institute classes, and I sort of learned it, and I was like, okay, this could be a thing.
So
and
you learned a lot of knowledge in a very short
and
amount
then,
of time.
Yeah, but that was 8 years ago when I started dabbling in it, and then, like, I did a couple weddings here and there, like, just, you know, those brides say book you, like, the first couple years, you're like, oh, bless your heart. Like, when you look back on it, you're like,
I'll do what you want. And then,
should not have done your wedding.
Oh, my
like,
God.
What the hell?
That's all the friends that you do.
Well, and these weren't friends. Like, this was, like,
friend of
paying
friend.
Clients.
Paying clients.
Oh,
and then I look back at that, I'm like, okay.
Wow, that was the...
That was pretty bad. I know. But, you know, bless their hearts. They hired you, and they put their trust in you, and...
I had to do a lot of damage control when I bought the shop because the time between when I had it and when I left for that year, there was a designer in there that didn't know what she was doing, didn't know how to run it. Michelle didn't, you know, want to, I mean, she was so busy with what she was doing. It was hard for her to like handhold the manager, so to speak. Anyways, so the point is when I bought it, I had to do a lot of damage control. And it took, so I did anything and everyone, everything for anyone for about a year and a half.
Anything and anyone?
everything for anyone.
Well, you know.
For anyone. For
you put
anyone.
The baby's breath in the mason jar and yeah, you walk away.
Right?
I still put the
take
baby's
it away for the team.
Mason
take it away for the
my,
team.
We
no.
all do. It's just.
I don't even say that. I'm just like, okay.
I don't know.
We
I want, just, for
we
me.
We don't pick it, we just stick it.
For me, I just feel like maybe it's I don't have the time to devote to the business side that I would like to have. And I kind of, like, I'm a big procrastinator on things. Like, my emails and, like, my getting back to people. And I just,
that
I shouldn't be that way.
That is a huge factor.
Yeah.
I think just
and
responding,
I'm
like, within 24
yeah,
hours
within 24
is
hours.
A huge selling tool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not good at that.
I think if you made a point of doing that for, like, the next 2 months, you would see a dramatic uptick in bookings.
Well, and I get so... Okay, so lately it's been frustrating because I get, like, the stupid inquiry... I mean, they're not stupid. Like, they're for somebody. Of course, they're for somebody. They're just not what I want to be booking. And I
mm-hmm.
feel like... I'm like, why am I getting these? Like, what is attracting these kind of people? Like...
Sometimes they don't know, though, too. I mean, sometimes, you know...
Do you ask them their budget right off the bat?
They're just...
Because I used to not, and now that I do, it helps a lot.
It does it? Okay, because I mean, I don't...
I have a big old survey that they have to fill out and do their homework, because if they don't take the time to fill it out, they should not be...
Yeah.
I, should not
I think
be
they should probably implement that.
That,
but no, I do, like, I have an autoresponder that'll kick in, and it'll send people my pricing guide, like, rough pricing guide. I always tell them,
it's
I'm
like
hey, here's a rough idea of what... my flowers will cost. And then
you've got a really cute PDF. I like
yeah, and it's I mean, it's cute and I spent time doing it and it helps because it's an autoresponder, so that's good. But like,
how did you make your PDF? Word.
I think
I had
somebody
make one
yeah.
for me, but that one's kind of outdated. It's got like 2015 prices on it.
Yes, all
that's
I know
so
I do is
cute,
Word
though.
And Publisher, but
I don't know how to fix it.
I would do it in Illustrator.
See, and that's why I'm buying Illustrator.
What's
to
that?
Fix it.
Is that a?
It's part of the
PC
Adobe.
It's
suite.
An Adobe suite, so it's like you can write things and draw on pictures.
Hers is
and
cute because she had some sketch, and so it'll be like. Bridal game, and then she has different
it's
sizes.
A hand-drawn.
And it's
I
like
have to like hand drawn
sketches.
You make your own like flyers on that,
like,
yeah.
And like,
it's a good like
brochures.
It's a good
if
tool.
You want to buy flowers for me, here's a potential price you're gonna pay.
Yeah,
to,
so
yeah.
I kind of give
and
them a rough idea, and it's an autoresponder.
Just...
And if I hear back from them with like more details, it's usually like, here's the next steps and how you make an appointment.
That's
and
what?
Like, I don't know, like I just feel like I'm really not attracting the right people.
What are you looking
how
for?
Does your website
about?
Look?
The thing that you make the brochures with?
Illustrator?
Illustrator, thank you.
Well, I mean, my husband deals with it all the time because he doesn't feel like he's, even though he's very successful in his software, he doesn't feel like he's successful because he keeps thinking that he's, you know, he's going to wake up one morning and he didn't actually do it. I feel that way too. I struggle a lot with my pricing and things because I think I'm doing good and things are, and then someone will, you know, tell me my pricing's too high and like get down on me and then I have a hard time doing it again. So
mm-hmm.
it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I've had a father of the bride who told me I was the most expensive florist
yeah,
in Seattle,
true.
Which is
oh
absolutely
not
true. There's absolutely no way
oh my
that that's true.
The father of my bride last weekend said that he's been married 3 times and all 3 weddings cost less than this one did for flowers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the order I was dealing with was like $35,000.
Don't
give
me this.
Bye.
Biatch.
Yeah. This wasn't a very large order. He wanted
right.
to drop it down by $500. So he actually said to me, you mean to tell me if I called every single florist on the knot, you would be not the most expensive? I'm like,
well, maybe on the knot.
Try it. Like, go for it.
I don't know. I'm $3 symbols, but like, so are other people. I don't know. I mean, a garden rose
just
bouquet.
Just say, hey, you know what?
Like...
This is industry pricing standard. If you want, like.
The problem is when he goes, are you sure it's industry? You know, standard, I'm like, is it? Like, I question myself. And so
I don't even know if you need to say it's industry
yeah.
standard. You just say this is the price structure that works for my business.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what we
plus
charge.
That's the other thing, too. Like, do you guys ever do the whole.
So passive.
Like, say this, here's this gorgeous, amazing bouquet, and it's got David Austin's in it, and orchids, whatever. It's got the big to do, and it's like $300 bouquet. If they're like, oh my gosh, it's so expensive. I'm like, well, I can get it down to 200, but you're getting standard roses and you're getting
yeah.
ferns and not hydrangea and blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah. they usually appreciate that. Like, I'm like, it will look similar, you know, fail, yeah, whatever, yeah, but it is not going to have David Austin, you know.
Right. And I loved what, yeah, was it Hitomi who said today about, like, using David Austin as a brand, like you would talk,
yeah,
about,
well,
Gucci,
they're luxury
guitar.
It's, yeah, just,
yeah,
like there's luxury.
The problem,
yeah,
is Pinterest, they're all over there, so,
yeah,
I don't think.
Well, people think
some
they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I don't
and
think brides realize
little,
that they're,
or they think
luxury
that you grew,
like,
up
they are,
because they were all in grandma's gardens.
Are they,
right,
cabbage roses?
So aren't those cheap? Didn't you,
yeah,
just grow those? Yeah.
Well,
oh, my bet.
Well, and that's what this father of the bride was saying. He's like, why are flowers so expensive? There's lots of flowers in Seattle. And I'm like, he's like, why,
oh,
would you
the Pike Place
bring them in
too,
from
and that
where,
like,
where
Pike,
you
Street
know, these my roses here
they're
for cheaper.
Fresh.
And I'm like,
they're,
yeah,
always falling
roses
apart.
Roses here are not cheaper than,
sure, sure,
local
they're
roses
dollars
are more expensive.
Yeah, I was trying to explain all that,
roses,
and it,
yeah,
was just not.
Child labor,
yeah,
economy of scale.
Yeah, he wanted to know all of that fun stuff. It was a wonderful phone call. That was
my struggle with imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I think my thing is, like, I can attract the right brides, but I can't
sell
them. Like, I've lost,
yeah,
$15,000 jobs.
That's been me this year. I lost two or three that were really good, and I'm not bouncing back from it. Like, I,
yeah. So yeah. I think for me, like they'll come, but why are they not?
Why not sticking?
Staying. Like, I've booked some really nice jobs, and that's great, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, I finally have an idea of who I am and what my designs are and what I like to do and, you know, how I'm going to present myself. But I think for me, like, the, I don't know, getting nervous in front of people, like, I'm kind of awkward, like.
Where do you guys meet them?
Well, I just signed Lisa in the studio.
Oh, congrats!
That will make a big difference because you're in your own comfort zone. Like, I still meet people in the coffee shops,
yeah,
and it does make me nervous. It makes me feel like...
Like, you're not a real person, right?
Wait,
like,
yeah, but I get people like, can I come by and see
the
flowers and stuff? I'm like, I don't have any flowers for you to look at right now.
Yeah.
Like, why not? I'm like, well, because I'm studio.
I'm in a coffee shop, too.
And, yeah, people just don't understand that.
The
yeah.
reason why I say that is, like, if they're spending those big bucks, maybe they think, oh, well, this person, I'm spending all this money, I want to see...
Yeah, I think having your studio is going to change that.
Yeah, that's
I
why
offer,
I did it, too.
But
it's just, I have people come to my home. I know it's not that professional,
yeah.
but I do have people come to my home, and I do mock-ups for them, which I find really is helpful, or I'll bring them to the venue. But
yeah,
I have coffee shops.
Could you meet them at the wholesale market?
No,
if you don't
want
to
know
all
the
stuff,
yeah,
you know.
They
want
to see,
I mean,
all
there
the
are prices on the flowers, but it's still
like
it
why,
opens
why
up.
Are you charging?
What about a nursery? What about a nursery that's gardeny?
I don't know.
Like a nursery that's already gardeny, and then you can have a nice little just a bouquet. Like tell them, like don't even ask them what their flowers are, just the colors. And me, and then just walk around the gardens with them.
Well, after my style shoot that I went to that.
Like Malbex or something.
It was far, and then I came to the garden
after
that.
Gambit.
And I brought the bouquet with me. Like I met a bride like really quick downstairs, and she was like, "Okay," and she like signed the next day.
Bring flowers, and go to like a garden center
I've
or something.
I've thought about bringing something, whether it be like
just in their colors
or flowers or just something.
Just
like
or
a gift.
Not
like
even
a little...
gift. Take it with you, or go take a buttload of pictures of it, and then. Just tiny, just a little.
Yeah.
It's that tactile senses thing.
Yeah.
That way, it makes up for you not having a studio. Is what I'm saying. They're still like, it's her extra touch. It's still special, even though she doesn't have a studio, or, I mean, a brick. You know.
A shop.
Yeah,
we know what you mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I think one of the things that helped me book the jobs that I did when I was my meat and coffee shops is, I mean, like. I'm a studio florist, and some of the best wedding designers are studio florists. And pointing to, you know, Holly Chapel and
doesn't Aria Lutz. She's in her house,
right? Yeah, in her house and her farm, and that's, you know, like selling it as like I'm a specialist, and this since I only do weddings, you know, I'm able to really dive deep and be an expert in my field.
Yeah.
And so a storefront just doesn't make sense for. Like, it's just not
necessary. It's extra overhead that's
and
stupid.
So just taking that time to educate them, like,
yeah. No, I've done
you
that before too, and
yeah,
it does seem to help people understand a little bit better because it is kind of confusing. They're like, well, wait, do you just,
you
like...
You don't have a shop? What are you talking about?
And it's funny because, I mean, I have two freaking coolers in my garage, and she's got a cool bot,
yeah,
like, building, and
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
like, yeah,
we have
really,
I mean,
you know?
We have full shops in our house.
Yeah.
In case you guys didn't know, you can now subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Pocket Cast. I think that's what it's called. Anywho, go subscribe. Go listen. Tell your friends about it. And if you have a minute, leave a review. We all deal with this. It's not anything that's new. It's come up quite a bit recently just because in this day and age we have so much that we're bombarded with as far as social media goes. You know, we see everybody out there doing things we wish we could be doing or leading better lives than we think that, you know, we have. And it's a vicious cycle. It's not healthy. And we're definitely not alone. Creative types tend to suffer from this more, but in all realms of social stature, there are people who suffer. Celebrities, actors, actresses, artists, writers, grad students, creatives, mothers, and just about anybody you can think of has that feeling that they're going to be found out, that this is just a big sham and they don't know what they're doing. 75% of people polled said they have experienced imposter syndrome at one point. Big names we have, let's see, Tina Fey, Tom Hanks, Maya Angelou, Daniel Radcliffe, Meryl Streep. I mean, the list could go on for quite a while. In regards to figuring out how to deal with it, I've come up with the ways I have dealt with it myself. And I'm not a psychologist, and I'm definitely not a therapist, but I have learned to... This is what I have learned to help myself through those feelings. And up on the list, we've got number one, just stop it. Make yourself aware of what you're feeling. And if you feel a certain way when you look at social media, just turn it off. Everything is so instant and so shareable. Give yourself a mental break. Uninstall the app. Or just unfollow people that make you feel that icky and jealous feeling. Or you could do a bonus I have for number one. Dive even deeper. Say something nice. Get in there and give a nice comment. You may be surprised at how genuine you can be. Keep in mind how good it feels when you have something that you post that you're super proud of. And somebody makes a wonderful comment. It really can change your day. So just, you know, pay that complimenting forward, and in turn, that'll make you feel a little bit better. And I do have a 1.5 on here. 1.5, keep your eyes on your own arrangement. Quit looking at everyone else's shit and thinking it's better than yours. Keep an open mind and critique others' work with the aspiration to improve. For example, don't say in your mind, wow, that design is so beautiful. My color schemes will never look that way. As my track coach in high school used to say, get ready for this, it's super corny, stinking thinking. It's pretty bad. So if you can change your mindset to a more positive one, it will work wonders. This is what you should say instead. Wow, that design really has a great color palette. I bet if I studied my color wheel a little when I have a minute, I could totally do something amazing like that. See, it's all a mindset. Up on the next list, next would be number two, self-love and confidence. Remember what your talents are. Play to your strengths and your weaknesses. If you have a hard time seeing those, ask a friend, a coworker, or a family member for 5 things that you're good at. Take those, write them down, and refer to them later. You can also make yourself a praise pin board. So this is something I do when I get a thank you note. I put it up on my little old-fashioned cork board. You know, if you're more tech inclined, you can make a file on your computer and just check in on it when you have a bad day. It really seems to help. Even just one bride's thank you card. You know, she gushed over your flowers and she sent you the most sweet little note because you made her day special. And that should be a little gold star in your book. Number 3. Get over yourself. It may seem like the whole world is going to see you screw up, but they don't really care. Number 3. Get over yourself. Okay, that's better. Of course, I'm going to see a spider and I'm going to freak out. Okay. Back to the list. Okay, number 3. Get over yourself. It may seem like the whole world is going to see you screw up, but they don't really care. This is when I personally struggled with really hard to get my butt in gear to do this podcast. And in all honesty, I talk to myself all the time. So hearing myself speak wasn't the issue. My issue was, what are they going to think of me? Who is going to hear this and think, oh my God, she's the worst. How annoying. I'm pretty sure, well, I'm hoping that most of those people won't leave rude comments and just shut this off and go away. But really, you know, if you think about it, the sun is still going to shine. People are still going to commute to work and still go about life as they know it. And you're not the be-all, end-all of their universe. So, that helps a little. Number 4, get accountable. I recently took a very intense business course. I guess it wasn't super intense, but it was, you know, I spent a lot of time focusing. And we had accountability buddies, and it was great. This group of ladies checked in with each other throughout the course, gave ourselves due dates, and that's how I got my butt in gear to do this podcast. It helped me a lot to announce a release date and just say, hey, it's gonna get done. But if you find a friend to bounce ideas off of, or someone you can just say out loud to, hey, I'm having these feelings like I'm a fraud. You know, admission is tough, of course, but sometimes just to get it off your chest is amazing. So whether it's a group of like-minded industry people or business acquaintances that can give you valuable advice or feedback, it can be very beneficial. If you do have funds available, a business coach to invest in is very great. I mean, it can really encourage you to hurdle over these feelings and stay on track with your business and what you need to be doing. Number 5, do good. Volunteer or just listen to a vent session from a friend. Make somebody else's day better. As florists and creatives, we tend to be in our own heads most of our waking hours. So sometimes if you just stop and listen, you'll get out of your own head and it'll open you up to a viewpoint of somebody else and just give you a little more perspective. And, you know, as florists, we like to make people feel better. You know, I feel like sometimes we're like a good bartender. We get to hear everybody else's stories and empathize because we're very good at that. Number 6, just share what you've got. You definitely are doing people a disservice by not sharing your knowledge. Sure, you're not the center of their universe, but you're you. And you may be doing the exact same thing as somebody else out there, but if you do it your way, there are people that are going to relate to you and resonate with your personality. So it's very important to share what you know. Number 7, don't bullshit. What? You don't have the answer to everything? No. Point them in the right direction. Bullshitting somebody is a proven way to get yourself bit in the ass. You'll be called out eventually, and it will wreck your self-esteem and your credibility. You may be seen in your field as an expert, but if you don't know an answer, it is best to just be honest and say, hey, that is a really good question. Maybe I could check it out. Or you could look to so-and-so for that sort of question. Nobody is going to hate you for saying that you don't know. They will actually be quite happy that you helped point them in the right direction with their question. Number 8, reevaluate your failures. So you didn't get that job. Maybe they weren't the right client. Or, of course, that's not always the case, but attracting people who are excited to work with you is very important, and you can take the failure as a way to improve, learn, to see what you could have done better. You can't please everyone, and you can't be everything to everybody. So number 9 on productivity to help. I feel like keeping busy really makes imposter syndrome lessen. Just to stay focused, make tiny goals, checking them off to help you feel better. Like I said, just keeping busy, but, you know, towards an end. Get in the habit of working on one or two little things that's going to add up to a big goal, and practice that technique that will give you that next level advantage. Learn that new skill. Perfect it. And number 10, keep on trucking. Like back on tip 1.5, keep your eyes on your own arrangement or business or paper or project. Conquer that goal. Keep on track. And when you get to the finish, take the time to give yourself a high five, pat on the back, and a big old glass of celebration to toast. Because we don't always celebrate our wins, and we should. That wraps up episode number 3. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a flower-filled weekend. If you haven't signed up for the pod letter, please do. There's going to be some fun stuff coming soon.
Please tune in next time. And for any show notes or links that we talked about today, please go to fromthegroundatlaurel.com/podcast.